shake hands with everybody beside you and say, the Lord bless you. Praise God. Just remember to seated for a moment. Amen. The Lord's good, isn't it? Praise God. The Lord bless each and every one this morning. And it's good to see each one that's came. The Lord bless you. I want to thank everyone for their giving to the Brother Brian. We really enjoyed the meetings. We raised £1,300 on the morning service. And then there were some other people left gifts on the Wednesday night, which was about another £100. So that was about £1,400. So I think that's tremendous from a small fellowship. And I believe that the Lord will bless. When we give to God's work, the Lord will bless us. I believe that. And we know the flight's quite expensive, but we appreciate all that was given. Then from the offerings, the B&B was about £450, which came out of the offerings as well. And we appreciate all of that, praise God. And Brother Brian, you know, he said that he was sad going home. He felt a bit sad going home. He loves it here. The weather wasn't much good, but our brother really enjoyed his time here, and we certainly enjoyed the fellowship. And I think the last service was one of the best meetings. Praise God. And you know, there's a young man came at the end of it, concerned about salvation. And he came to the Lord that night, and we just thank the Lord for that. Made a real clear decision for salvation on Wednesday night. And that's what it's all about, people getting saved. You could learn something, you could learn a bit more, and it's good. Brother Branham did say, pray for revelation. It's good to have revelation. We believe in having revelation. We believe as believers, we should try and go deeper with the things of God. But the most important thing, soul salvation. That's the utmost, above everything, is soul salvation. On Wednesday night, our brother brought it out so well about being saved. And there was a great conviction power in the meeting on Wednesday night. And it strains really, isn't it? Because maybe in the Sunday morning we'd have liked it like that, but it didn't happen like that. It's a different meeting on the Sunday morning, but the Wednesday night. But then you see, as individuals, as men, you could ponder and think, well, why wasn't it this and why wasn't it that? But you see, you don't know what God's done. Amen. And when a man preaches what God gives him, it's always for a reason and for a purpose, and we really appreciate it. And I do think Sunday morning cleared up some things as well, with different questions people had on a lot of different things. And you know, I've always believed when that which is perfect has come. We hear so much today that people say that's the message. They say that's this message, and they say that which is perfect has now come. But you know, when that which is perfect has come, that which is in parts done away. And the in parts not done away with yet, as far as I can see. And we know that, which was exactly the way our brother explained it. It is the coming of the Lord. And it's like the seventh seal. People can say, I know what the seventh seal is. And there's some things they're saying which are right. But they just don't know all what the seventh seal is. Because it's the coming of the Lord. And it's after the rapture, things that's to happen. Seven vows, seven thunders. So we just don't know all about it at all. So when people say they know everything about the seven seals, they're wrong. And you know, the interesting thing is, you know, the thing that Brother Branham said, leave alone. And he said it a lot of times, is the thing that people's fussing over. And yet he said, leave it alone. And he said, if you don't leave it alone, it'll take you further away from it, trying to understand it. So leave it alone. And I was blessed, you know, because God has reaffirmed for me, preach the gospel. Amen. Now I'll tell you someone, when you preach Christ, that's the main thing. And you can preach so many other things and they might be true. And I'm not saying we should never preach anything. Certainly we're to preach everything. We're to preach doctrine and all them things. We believe that. And we do believe in revelation and all them things. But the gospel is the main thing. Amen. Isn't that the truth? And we thank God for the power of the gospel. Praise God. just to tell you that I've been to the doctor, I've been to the physio, I've been all round, and they tell me I have a disc out in my back, and that's why I'm getting the pains down one side. But I told you last week I'm expecting God to heal me, and I'm not as bad as I was, so I'm catching the healing. So you keep praying for us that God will complete it, and there's not much you can do with it. Basically, it doesn't matter if you go to physio or who you go to, they can't put a disc in, really. That's really the truth of it. It's something that goes out in your back. The only thing puts it in is rest and recovery, and then if the swelling goes down, and it can go back in itself. But you know, like Brother Branham once said, there's a woman came one time in the prayer line, or was it a man, and they needed a new heart. And he said, there's nothing the doctors can do for the heart, but God can give you a new heart. And God touched that man and healed him. And God's able to do that. And you know, I thought to myself, I've clowned about with weights for years and lifted big heavy weights and never hurt myself. And yet I've done it, and I wasn't doing any weights or anything like that. I don't even know how I've done it, to be honest with you, but I've done it. So it's happened, but I'm just trusting the Lord will heal us and touch us, praise God. I want to preach this morning about the power of the cross and the resurrection. And you know, I was out this morning, going over some scriptures again, and they're coming on a powerful statement in Hebrews, and I might preach it tonight. And you know what that statement is? It's Hebrews 12 and verse 2. He endured the cross. There's a thought. And I was praying this morning, and you know, I really love the book of Hebrews. And I said, Lord, give me something out of the book of Hebrews again. And I come in that verse, I might preach it tonight. You know, five times they brought the trial of Jesus. They moved him all night. Did you know that? They moved Jesus the whole night. I never knew that myself, but I've studied it, and they moved him all night. And they moved him to one boy, and he was bad, and they moved him to another one, and they brought him before Pilate. That was the third time. He sent him back to her, then he sent him back to Pilate number five. Five times. And they bothered him, they beat him, and he endured the cross. He endured the cross. Let's stand our feet this morning, and let's read Colossians. I want to read from verse 13, Colossians chapter 2. Verse 13, and the Lord bless each one that's given, and also a couple of brothers helped me out with my car, and I want to really thank them from the bottom of my heart. I don't know what I'd have did without them, and I really want to thank them brothers. May the Lord bless them and all those that's helped in every other way. And don't forget as well, in case you haven't heard, Brother Sammy McDonald's brother passed away. Gordon. And Gordon was here for the funeral. He's only 56, is that right? 55. 55 years old, he passed away. And I got to talk with Gordon at the hospital, and me and him talked about quite a lot of things, and I got to talk with him again, and he rang me a lot of times as well. And, you know, Gordon was saved and backslid, and God seemed to be moving on him, and there's a lot of things needed to be put right. I don't know what all happened at the end, but we're just believing God's grace anyhow. What he made it. Amen. But he's passed away. And that's two sons. And the father prayed for Sammy's dad. He's lost his two youngest sons now. And he's quite an age of a man. Pray for him. Pray for the McDonald family as well. God will bless him at this time. Let me read from verse 13 of Colossians 2. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have they quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphant over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of a new moon, or of a Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and workmanship, worshipping of angels, introducing into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body, by joints and bonds, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, and handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honour to the satisfying of the flesh. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads for a word of prayer. And if you have a need this morning, just let your hand be lifted before God. I will remember you as well. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we are not worthy, but you are worthy. Lord, we wouldn't be sufficient of ourselves, but your word tells us that our sufficiency is of the Lord. Lord, we have no righteousness of our own, but we take yours. We take the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We ask that you would wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Lord, I take the promised Holy Ghost to quicken this vessel and anoint these words till our ears this morning and till our hearts. May you bless every hand that's been raised. May you meet every need. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Bless our brother Brian that's gone back to Australia. We thank you for his ministry and life and testimony. And we thank you, Lord, he's arrived home safe. We pray, Lord Jesus, for those of us that's here, that you'll help us today. Bless the children, from the youngest to the oldest of them. Bless the children that's here. Bless the children that we're praying for, that's away from you this morning. Save them, we pray, Lord Jesus. Father, we ask that you'll meet every need. Pray for the McDonald family, that you'll strengthen and encourage them at this time. Help them to look only to you, to Christ alone, the great comforter. May you bless Sally's dad. May you touch that man and strengthen and help him in Jesus Christ's name. For all his brothers and sisters, strengthen and help them all. In the name of the Lord Jesus we pray. Father, now help us with your word. Touch our hearts afresh. Touch our lives afresh. Grant us thy wisdom and guidance. In the name of Jesus Christ I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I thank the Lord for the word of God. And I believe this is a tremendous scripture in Colossians. Paul shows us that the cross has power in it. And Paul was a man that said that it didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it came to you in the power and in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. He said that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. So the preaching of the cross, we see, is the power of God. So when a man preaches the cross, he's preaching the power of God. So if you want to see the power of God, then if you preach the cross, you're going to see the power of God. You're going to see the power of God for people that get saved. You're going to see the power of God for people that get set free and people that get delivered when you preach the cross. For he
be well. Stands out. Let me say it again. Let me vividly is the wrong word. Let me say it. Stood out what he said. One of the first things God showed him when he could see this. He showed him that Brian's preborn sins of his past are forgiven. Sins of his present are forgiven. And his sins of the future is forgiven. That's hard to pick, isn't it? Future as well. But the Bible says blotting out. Removing. When you blot someone out, you no longer see it. It's blotted out from the handwriting of God. And all the things that were against us, our past sins, present sins, future sins, are dealt with the blood that was shed at the cross. Thank God for the cross and the power of the blood to blot out our sins. And all the handwritings of ordinances, that's your commandments, you know. And we broke them. If I was to say to you, and you ever see, is it Ray Mercer, brother guy? Is it Ray? Ray Comfort. Ray Comfort, if you ever get a chance, you go on YouTube or somewhere, and he's a tremendous man on the streets, witnessing, and he uses the Ten Commandments really well. And he tells people, they say, well, I've never done anything wrong. You know what? You said I'm a sinner, but I've never done anything wrong. And then he says, have you ever told a lie? Well, maybe just one or two wee lies, but then you broke the laws, you're a sinner. And then, you ever looked at a woman with lust in your eyes? Well, I had. Well, you're an adulterer. For him that looketh upon a woman has already committed adultery in his heart. You see, all them commandments, we've all broke them. But he nailed them to his cross. All the things we broke, he nailed to his cross. There's freedom here. There's liberty here. God was satisfied with what Jesus done. That's the thing about it. Propitiation means God was satisfied. We could never satisfy God. We couldn't do it. But Christ did. He satisfied God. He pleased the Father. And all that was against us, he nailed to the cross. Jesus points principalities and powers at the cross. Look with me to chapter 1 and let me read from verse 18 of Colossians chapter 1. Let me read down from verse 18 a few verses here of Colossians chapter 1. Let's start at verse 17 of Colossians 1. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And that word consist means maintained. He maintains this world. People talk about it finish when such the one presses a button, and that's true. But God will permit that. Until the Lord permits that, it won't finish. He maintains it. He maintains this world. He maintains everything out there. God maintains it. He keeps it. And if God can keep this world and all them things, he can keep you and me. You know, when you get saved, people used to wonder, how will I keep it? You won't keep it. It'll keep you. That's what salvation does. It keeps you. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things you might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father, and in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven. So we have only peace through the blood of the cross. Listen to this next verse, 21. And you then that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Amen. You're reconciled back to God. You once were an alien. You once were an enemy. Paul was against the Christians. He held the quote of those that stoned Stephen to death. He was against the Christians. But Paul had an encounter with a pillar of fire. He met with the Lord. And that bright light shone so bright he came down on his horse. And he was blinded in his eyes. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. And you know the first thing God sent Paul for, to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost after his conversion. For he went to the man's house and he prayed for him, and the scales fell out of his eyes and the Holy Ghost fell on him. Isn't that right? Amen. But God got Paul into a place called straight. And once you can see it, you get into a place called straight. You come out of crooked street and you come into straight street. Amen. And a whole lot of us were in crooked street and we were crooked. for it. Praise God for it. And the body of his flesh, verse 22, through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight.
Amen.
Holy, unblameable. Once you come through the power of the cross, once you're born again, the Lord can present you holy and unblameable. That's why Brother Branham said, I don't call you church, I call you bride. You know how I use the word justified and what it means. It means as though you never done it in the first place. That's how God sees you. Now, if you haven't come through the cross, he doesn't see you like that. Well, if you're predestined, in a way, he still does. But we don't. Let me say it like that. And we have to preach it. We are sinners. We're lost without Christ. But once we're justified, as though we never done it in the first place, the Lord sees us blameless. Blameless. Can you imagine that? Oh, but did you realize that this brother did this, and this brother did this, and he got this, and he got that, and the Lord will say, was he washed in my blood? Yes, then he's blameless. She's blameless. The handwriting's gone. Blotted out by the blood of the cross. Thank God for the cross. If there's no cross, we have no message. You know, I was thinking of a wee word, and I've heard it mentioned a few times, and Brother Branham mentioned it, and a couple other brothers have mentioned it. The meritorial work finishes. How many's heard that mentioned? Yes. Now, do you know where that word came from? When Brother Branham studied the seven seas and the seven church ages, he read that in Clarence Larkin's book, because I read it last night in the book. And Clarence Larkin talks about when the bride goes, the meritorial work's finished to the bride. But it's not finished to those in the tribulation. And it's not finished to the Jews. Amen. Are you following me here now? Yes. When God's bride all comes in and the Lord takes his bride away, but there's those that get saved during the tribulation. And it's a number that no man can number. For the word of God says, here are these that come out of great tribulation, with their robes washed in white. How did they get them washed? By the blood of the Lamb. That's what your Bible tells you.
Amen.
And the Jews, Brother Branham tells us, receive the same message
Amen.
We receive.
Amen.
So it's not that the blood's finished. That's not what it means, and that's not what Brother Branham meant. It's that group of people called the bride goes, and the rapture goes, the catching up goes. And that's in the midst of the week. That leaves you 3.5 years. Now, I don't want to get off the subject this morning. But it's wonderful, you know. God's not going to lose nobody.
Amen.
You know, the Mormons think they're the Jehovah's Witnesses, or the Mormons, they think they're the 144,000. And I asked one of them one day, I says to them, would you not have that number made up yet? And he says, we've went past it. I says, what do you do then? And he started to explain to me. I said, man, you're blind, aren't you? You're blind. I said, that's the Jews. But you're blind. And Brother Branham said some kind of a blur has blinded them. And Paul talks about they're blinded and they can't see the gospel. And you know what blinds them? The God of this evil age has blinded the minds of them that believe not. And when you don't believe the cross and the power of the blood, you're blinded. And it's the God of this evil age that blinds you. But remember that Christ defeated you at Calvary. Or we were any day. And therefore it's the Lord that can give us eyes salve and take the scales of our eyes. Isn't it wonderful? I tell you, there's people, you know a statement William Branham made. He says when the rapture goes, he said people knew about the message, what he preached now. They'll read it then and they'll know it's right, but it'll be too late. But they'll be saved, but they'll not go on the catching up. They left it too late. But there's a group of people coming out of the tribulation that no man can number. But I tell you, we want to be in this resurrection that goes. We're filled with the Holy Ghost, what puts you in there. I think that's wonderful, isn't it? It's simple, isn't it? Sealed by the Holy Spirit. You know, there's so much today, if you don't see it the way I see it, you'll not go. The problem is with all that, everybody sees it different. So I can't base it on that. But I can base it on God's Word, for it never changes. God's Word remains the same. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So is the Word of God. He said the heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word shall not pass away, not one jot or tittle, till all be fulfilled. And Ephesians says, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. And a brother brought it out well. Did you not think he brought it well? That this body still has to be redeemed. It has to be changed. And you know that your physical body, it needs a change. You need a body change. You're born again, but you need a body change. You're going to have to drop this flesh. Flesh and blood can't enter the kingdom of God. We're going to receive a new body. We're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This corruptible must put on incorruption. It's 1 Corinthians 15:53. You read it. And we're going to be changed. God's going to change our bodies. And I thank God for that. Preaching the cross is the power of God. It is not the actual preaching, but the cross itself that gives the power. The cross is an instrument of power, and it must be preached. That's why it's so powerful. The message of the cross is powerful. You think of Billy Graham's preaching. We met a man the other day, it was really something. Me and Brother Brian met a fellow the other day. He belongs to the Frozen group. And you know who I'm talking about. They are Frozen. And they're a bigger denomination now than what they come out of near. When they first come out, what they come out of, they're near as bad as it now. How many knows that's the truth? That is the truth. But that man was a big part of them, and he did studies and all the rest of it. And you know, when his leader, you know who I'm talking about, decided to do a certain thing which we wouldn't agree with, but he done it. This fellow said, I have no part with it. And the elders took him aside and gave him a real rebuke. And he said, but Tom, I was right. And afterwards they come back and apologize to me. He would have no part with it. He followed the man, but he couldn't follow the man when the man was doing things he shouldn't have been doing, and he did. And was it like a brother Brad preached, the gifts perfect, but the physical part can be wrong. And I thought he brought that out so well. And you know, he told us, he said to Brother Brian, he said, what do you think of Billy Graham? Well, God sent Billy Graham, that's what I think of him. And that's what Brother Brian thinks of him. But he wasn't sure if he could even put a poster up his window with Billy Graham on it, because the organization he belonged to, they protested Billy Graham. Now that was never God. I'll tell you that now. Amen. And I don't care who Billy Graham visited, that wasn't God. Amen. It was God, remember this, and Brother Branham said this as well. It was God that sent the two angels to Sodom and Gomorrah. God sent them. And those angels brought out some of them. Yeah. And if you take Billy Graham and Oral Roberts, which the prophet did, to be them two angelic messengers to our day, they were sent for some of them, and they got them. Yeah. That's what I think of it. I don't even agree with that this morning, isn't it the truth? But that fellow more or less apologized. I don't mean to ask, he more or less said they were wrong. And many of the things they did, they were wrong. You remember my grandfather was at the picture house, he went to see Billy Graham preaches. And people stood outside and protested that Billy Graham was been satellited into that picture house to preach. He stood outside protesting it. Protesting a man preaching the gospel. And they said, we are against apostasy. But were they? Were they?
No.
They weren't against it. They were blinded as well along the road. Because you see, when you leave the Holy Ghost, then you have no real leader. Amen? The Holy Spirit's the leader of the church. Christ is the head of the church. Nobody else. No prophet, no priest, Jesus Christ. He's the only true head of the church. Now I'm not here to preach about Billy Graham or anything like that, but I'm just
And he told us it was an interesting conversation what he said. And where they went wrong and different things. You see, you have to remember one thing. And Brother Brian said this to him. When he talked about the great whore, he says, Brother, remember they had daughters.
Amen.
The great whore had daughters.
Amen.
And the daughters was the Protestant churches.
Amen.
And who copied who? With the tunic. And the three tiger baptisms. And sprinkling the children. Who copied who? Well, you know who copied who. That's why God says, and I read it to you this morning, touch not, handle not. The unclean thing. Come out from amongst them, but not to form yourself some new sect, but to come out to Christ, to the Word. That's when you come out. You don't come out to form some other that's worse than what you were once belonged to if you did. You come out to Christ, to the Word. That's why we're not going into nothing else. We're going to stay with the Lord and stay with the true Word of God. And we know it's so true what a brother said. God did send a true message. And it doesn't need somebody to interpret it. God's already done that. Amen? And I thank God for the message. But the cross must be preached. Let me read you this here. This little quotation here. What Brother Branham says about this. Just keep on following the rhythm of the Word. If repent is the first thing in recognizing, do that. Your first step. Put your next step where God says, on and on, marching on with Him. Don't break the rhythm if you're a part of God's sympathy. Don't break the rhythm of the Word. Don't ask, well, why? Why did this happen? I tried it, Brother Branham. When they turned me out, you know what I done. I just like to starve to death. Don't ask why. He knows the rhythm, how it's got to change, and what junction it's got to make. Yes, sir, for it's written. He knows all about it. He knows the rhythm. Don't ask why. I just believe it. But he starts out saying, start at the cross. Bring them to the cross. He doesn't say bring them to anything else. He says bring them to the cross. Who are you bringing them to when you bring them to the cross? You're bringing them to Oh, but we're saved now, brother, and we've moved on. Where did you move on to? I don't care how old of a Christian you are, or how deep you are in the Word of God. You will always need the cross. You'll always need to thank the Lord for the cross. As long as you're in this body, you'll need the cross. You need to thank the Lord for the cross. Now, I know there's deep revelations and other things. I believe them. And the Lord will, we'll preach them as well, certainly. But we must preach the cross. Go with me to Romans. Romans chapter 1. And let's read verse 3 and 4. Concerning His Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And He came in three sons' names, Son of God, Son of David, Son of Man. There's actually four. There's four, actually. Now, I haven't got time to get into that this morning. But God raised Him from the dead. This is why Jesus Christ is so powerful. This is why the message of the cross is so powerful. Because Jesus wasn't just a man that went to the cross and was led in a tomb and you never heard about Him again. But God, on the third day, raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus Christ is living today. He's alive. That's what Easter's all about. Easter's all about the resurrection of the Lord. Easter's all about the empty tomb. Easter's all about where the stone was rolled away. Not to let Jesus out, but to let them in, for He was already risen. And they say they saw the grave cloth. They saw for the Master lay. And He's no longer here. There's a wonderful song about it. For He's risen from the dead. You know, one singer sings, they stole Him in the night. Scripture say that. They thought they stole the Lord away in the night time. And two men sitting on the top of the stone. And they said, what have you done with them? They said, and they said, He's not here, He's risen. And they were two angels. And they wished that
works of the devil, and he's risen. He's risen from the grave. And he's the first fruits of the resurrection. That means the first fruits, that's the first fruit that comes. There's other fruit to follow. And we're going to follow the Savior. We're going to be resurrected. And we're going to be raised, whether we're in the grave or whether we're alive. We're the Lord's. And we're going to go to be with the Lord. And the same Spirit, Romans 8 says, that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. It will quicken. And that word means make alive your mortal body. I thank God today for the Holy Ghost and the power of the cross. God caused us to raise the Son from the grave. He plundered hell that he might populate heaven. Thank God this morning that he plundered hell that he might populate heaven. The Bible says he broke the bars asunder. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I listened to a boy preaching a while back. I can't remember the man's name, it's gone from me, but he did the whole thing about, you know, the devil sending the boys in, and he sent Mr. Decay to watch Jesus. And he left Mr. Decay with the Lord all night. And he inquired the next day, and Mr. Decay came back to the devil, and he says, "Well, how are you getting on?" And he says, "There's something different about this fellow, it's not working." He says, "I'm doing my best with a do all, but nothing's happening. His body's not even changing." You say that scripture, absolutely. The psalmist says, "I will not leave a soul in hell, neither will I suffer my Holy One to see corruption." God raised him up. Mr. Decay, 2 days, the third day, says he can do nothing with him. There's nothing we can do with him. It's not working. But you know and I know the Bible says that Jesus took the keys of death. He took the keys of hell off the devil. He shook the devil from the keys. And he rose up on the third day. Thank God he said to Peter, "I've given you the keys, Peter." Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I give you the keys, Peter. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The keys. Oh, then Brother Branham continually said, "Did you take your prescription?" And he said, "The Catholic priest got it all wrong when he remitted sins. He says you can do it. He says you can remit sins by the prescription." And the brother said, "What's that, Brother Branham?" He says, Acts 2:38. "Repent ye therefore every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." What else does it say? "For the promise is unto you and unto your children and to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." I tell you, when God calls you, the promise is yours. The word of God says it. You're promised the Holy Ghost. Reach in and take it. Take a hold of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's been poured out. You can receive it. Hallelujah. Thank God for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise God for the Holy Spirit. I thank the Lord for the moving power of the Holy Ghost. One of the wonderful things the brother told us about Azusa Street, how the outpouring came. And God brought in the restoration of the gift. You can read about it even in the church age book. Restored back all the gifts. Now God, not being an Indian giver as we hear, what would give some other boy the authority to say, "Oh, they're on the shelf now, we don't need them"? Who was he talking to? But I believe the prophet, not the one I'm following. And I say that, I mean the message. He never said that. He said we have a perfect interpretation with divine vindication. And he said God never takes away. He adds to. He adds to. He doesn't take away his word. He adds to it. Aren't you glad the Lord adds to it? I thank God for gifts. One of them gifts, the gift of healing. The gift of healing. Who would agree with me? We need the gift of healing. Sure we do. I need it. I want it. Prophecy and tongues. Every one of them is wonderful. How God can warn us and tell us things. And you know what it says? We're for to edify the church. They're to edify the church.
going. I won't keep you as long. The power of the cross precedes the power of the resurrection. Yes. Now Judas, you know, he bypassed the power of the cross. He bypassed it. And he was hung on a tree. When you hear William Branham preach, he said there was four trees. Do you ever hear him saying that? He said there was four trees. There was a three at Calvary, but there was a fourth one, which was Judas hung himself on a tree. Sycamore tree. Four trees. And Judas bypassed the power of the cross. And he went to his own place. And the Bible calls him son of perdition. That means he's lost. He's never been saved. He never got the birth. I tell you something, when you bypass the power of the cross, you must come by the cross. You can't bypass the cross. No matter what church you belong to, you can't bypass the cross. No matter what religion you know by, you cannot bypass the cross. You must come to the cross. God meets us at the cross. At the foot of Calvary. You know, when me and Brother Andrew Beecham preached in Manchester, it's a few years ago now. It's maybe a couple of years ago, maybe three. I don't even remember. It's a few years back. We preached and we felt there wasn't a breakthrough in the service what God wanted to have. Brother Beecham's wife fell under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit said that the people need to come to the altar for the cross. And I stood up and I had been preaching and I said the Holy Spirit's called us to the cross. And the Holy Spirit warned them. Not one of these shows for people kneeling down as a show. But it was saying really coming to the cross. Not to the altar as a show, but coming to the altar of God, the cross. I mean, the Holy Spirit spoke that night. And then the Spirit of God blanketed clean over the meeting. And the power of God fell. And I tell you, demons come out. The power of the Holy Ghost went into that meeting. But that's what the Holy Spirit said. You need to come to the cross. A lot of people pretend. You know what devils even pretend? I've seen devils pretending. Pretending they're religious. How many have you ever seen that? I tell you, crawling about on their knees and everything, getting people down pretending they're all super religious. But that can be a demon sometimes. But the anointing breaks the yokes. Amen? And I tell you, God set people free when they come to the cross. Why, brother? Because they've read you, they've told you, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Amen. That's the power of God. Preaching of the cross. The Son had to act upon, first upon the cross in power, so that the resurrection could be accomplished. Come forth. For us to have power in our lives, we must first recognize the cross. Let me read you this. From a message called Shalom. Something the other disciple didn't have. He saw him after. This is talking about Paul the Apostle. Death, burial, resurrection, ascension. He saw him. Some of them say, well, I walked with him. So did everybody in the street. But after he was dead, buried, raised, and ascended up and resurrected back in the form of the pillar of fire, he talked to Paul. That was more than any of the rest of them had. He had a real experience with him. And he said, except I get exalted and want to build this great big cemetery and everything else and get the big sum and some another, lest I get exalted above the abundance of this revelation, God lets the master of the devil keep me down. And you know, God lets someone come and Paul to keep me humble. A master of the Satan buffeted him to keep me humble. Because God didn't want Paul to have the word follow him. That's what he pointed to tell him. Amen? Aren't you glad about this morning? Then I'm watching strong, amen, growing pains and grace, amen, would stay on that long time. In Praise God. Let me read this from Matthew. Go with me to Matthew 16:24. And I'm going to finish in a moment. Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus suffered on the cross, and we have a cross to bear. We must take up our cross daily and follow the Lord. And we heard that the Christian life's not an easy life. We've crosses to bear, as it were. The Bible says it here. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they shall see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And you know that Jesus went on to say, the kingdom of God's amongst you. They were waiting on something. They were wondering how it would be. But when Jesus healed the sick, when Jesus did miracles for his finger, and he said, cast out devils of pain, but the finger of God to do cures the mark, go and tell an old fox. You know the scripture. You know what he said, the kingdom of God's come amongst you. Him. Himself. And when God's presence comes amongst us, that's a touch of the kingdom of God amongst us. That's the kingdom authority, what King Jesus brings. That's what comes in the meeting that can save people. The preacher can't do it. That's the Holy Spirit. What comes in the meeting, that's kingdom power. And that kingdom power comes in the meeting, that's the kingdom of God amongst you. That can save people, that can heal people, that can deliver people. Only the Lord can do it, and I thank God he can do it. Praise God. Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. The cross is not a weight. It is a power or an ability to help us in our daily walk. The power of the cross. Now I'm going to read you Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, but I can't go into it, keeping it for later. This has blessed me. Let's go to it, and I'm going to close on this scripture. I love this here. You know, I prayed this morning, just a simple prayer, and I was thinking about this. Let me read you the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author. He's the author, what's the next bit say? And the finisher of our faith. He's the author. That's the one that started you out. How am I going to finish? He's your finisher. He started you. He'll take you over the line. That's what he's saying. The author and finisher, glory to God, of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And you have to understand, when you read set down, he's finished the work. When you come in from the evening and you've done your work, and you sit to the table, don't you? You have a good faith. You've earned it. You sit down and you rest yourself. The older you get, you don't get up again. When you're younger, you go up and do something else. You get older, you don't. When you sit beside the fire and the sofa, as you call it, the fire's lit, that's it for the night. How many knows what I'm talking about? Tell it to me, come. Amen? Well, it'll be in another 10 years, brother, if we're here. But you know, the fire's lit. But I'm only showing you, Jesus has sat down. He's finished the work. He's your author and he's your finisher. Praise God. At the right hand of God. And that means all power. Right hand symbolizes all power. All authority. And Jesus said, all power and all authority is given unto me. Now let's read verse 3, and I'm going to have to quit because I don't want to go into this. I'm dying to, but I have to leave it. Verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider the Lord. When you feel down, when you're feeling weak, know that he's your author and he's your finisher, and then consider him. Consider him. Doesn't matter how hard a trial you're going through, consider the Lord and look at the cross. And when you consider the Lord, what he suffered, what he went through, I'll tell you, you'll forget about yourself. And when you think upon him, he'll bless you. Let's come and bow our heads. You pray the Lord will help us tonight. And every head's bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you for the power of the cross. We thank you, Lord, that you set your face as a flint to go up to Jerusalem. And you were hung upon a wooden tree. There you suffered and died. And you died alone. For the Bible says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We thank you, Lord Jesus, that the Word of God tells us that the rocks rent and there was an earthquake. And there was 3 hours of darkness. And in those 3 hours of darkness, you took our hell. You took the wrath of a holy God, deserving to sinful men and women. Oh Lord, you took all our punishment that was due us. You took it. And by your stripes we are healed. We thank you this morning for salvation. Full salvation, healing, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you're our soon coming King. Lord, we believe your word that you're coming again. You're the first fruits of the resurrection. Father, I pray you'll touch my brother today. Touch my sister today. Touch that boy. Touch that girl. And touch this preacher. In Jesus' precious name. Father, for those that had to go to work, for those that's away, may you bless them, may you strengthen them, and may you use them as bright shining lights. At this end time, I pray. Father, for any that's been afflicted in their body, Lord, I pray for your healing power upon them, upon my brother and upon my sister. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, I know you are the healer. You are the only healer. And we look to you this morning for our healing. Lord, you said you'll be strength to their navels and health to their bones. We believe you and we believe your word. Bless us now as a brother comes to lead us as we go. May you bless the song leader. May you bless your people. Lord, for all those that give over this time to your work and to your service, may you multiply back to them a mighty blessing. Pressed down and running over the top. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as a brother comes. God bless you.